please take your time settling in. I'm just going to make a couple of preliminary remarks while you're doing that. Panel was previously introduced. Obviously, Judge Connolly is absent from the panel configuration. He had a family matter to attend to, but he will be listening to these oral arguments as well as the fact that he's prepared for these hearings. The panel will confer after he is back and we're intact as a panel. Again, preliminary comments. You've both been here before. You each have 15 minutes per presentation of your primary case. Appellate counsel, you have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. Please introduce yourself and state the party you're speaking on behalf of before you begin your remarks. And I will ask Mr. McCall to call the next case for consideration.
Calling 824-0801, in re the matter of the alleged misuse of access to DVS data by Andrew Brackett.
Good morning,
good morning.
Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honor. Joe Kelly here on behalf of Relator Andrew Brackett. We're here today actually not on any factual dispute. This is an interesting procedural area that
it is.
It is.
So the facts are not in dispute. We know what happened. There was a guilty plea to the violation, and this is the impact of the civil end of that, if you will.
Correct, Your Honor. So this dates back to the initial alleged misconduct, which was ultimately admitted to in criminal court from 2021. A guilty plea was entered, and ultimately what happened was the matter seemed to bounce around within the Department of Public Safety to determine whether there was going to be a permanent revocation of DVS access, which...
I don't mean to interrupt your argument, but... Was there anything in the record that said why this was taking so long, or was this just, I don't know if this is the normal course of how, you know, bureaucracy that people complain of. Is there, I don't even know if that's relevant, but I'm just kind of curious because it seemed like it took a while to get off the ground.
I agree, and that's what's partially confusing is there's nothing clear in the record about why it took so long. And frankly, it's probably because at the time, up until October 1st of 2023, frankly, the record of why or didn't really matter because at the time, the statute imposed no discretion, allowed no discretion for the Commissioner of Public Safety, and required immediate and permanent revocation of all access. Which, again, I didn't get into the history of this statute, but it's quite unusual. About the access to this data, where up until approximately like 2014 to 16-ish, there was no requirement for any disciplinary action. And then part of the fallout from people inappropriately accessing driver's license data, it turned into immediate and permanent revocation. And as of October 1st of 2023, it just requires disciplinary action, which can be informal.
So my understanding is that the audit of the of your client's acts here, that audit closed on September 11th of 2023?
Well, that's the interesting question of what is the definition of closing an audit, because the final decision is probably important if that's the official closing of the record, which wasn't served upon Relator until March of 2024. Well after the change in law.
Just before you move on, but you would agree that the plain language of the statute, the relevant statute here, which is 171.12, it says in there that it becomes effective or it will become effective on October 1st, 2023. It also, I think, says that it applies, quote, to audits of data use that are open on or after October 1st.
I would agree with that. Okay. That's the plain language of the statute. Now, the Relator's position is that the case, the audit, is open until there's a final decision, which isn't rendered until, well, there's two ways that you could at least say that the final decision or the audit is closed. One is the earliest date is upon service upon the party that is impacted by the decision, or two, upon the decision of the Court of Appeals. And this is, again, like I said, procedurally unusual because the relator never received, didn't receive notice of the permanent revocation. Even if you look through the record, he inquired with the Department of Public Safety back in 2022 or 2023 about the status of it, and the information that he was given in the record was that they would be acting on it shortly.
Perhaps I missed it, but is there in the record, do we have information about whether your client was still employed in September or October of 2023?
It's not in the record because, again, the record on appeal was solely at the agency that was bouncing back and forth. The only thing in the record on appeal is the communication from the chief's office of the University of Minnesota asking for a status update because they wanted to, in fact, impose disciplinary action, and they needed to know the status of the revocation prior to taking the disciplinary action. However, ultimately what happened was he did, in fact, he was no longer employed at the time it was served upon the University of Minnesota.
But we don't know that.
Is that disputed?
I don't believe it's disputed, but it is in our factual brief, and
so perhaps we can agree to that, depending on
right. And I don't believe a respondent has claimed at any point in time that there was notice prior to the March of 2024. Otherwise, there would be a timeliness issue with filing a writ before this court. While I agree that the statute stated that it's only applies to cases that are open after October 1st of 2023, it is unclear about what the definition of an open audit is. It doesn't make sense that a state agency could have a closed audit and then not provide notice to the impacted party and say, well, we get the benefit of closing our audit 6 months ago, even though we never told the impacted party. Consistent with both statutes regarding writs of certiorari and the Minnesota Rules of General Practice, the effective date of the decision is upon the service upon the party rather than the date that the decision that the administrative agency came to its determination.
But aren't you asking us to add language then into the statute, something along the lines of it applies to audits of data that are open on or after, or it does, it becomes effective on October 1st except as insofar as people receive notice? I guess I'm wondering if you're asking us to add language here.
I'm not asking you to add language. I'm asking you to interpret that the audit isn't officially closed until the determination is served upon the responding party.
So just so I understand this, so you're saying because he got notice in March that we should apply then the law that is in place at the time he received notice? Does that boil it down to what your argument is?
That's correct, Your Honor. And I pointed to that in my both opening brief and reply brief about what law should be applied at the time by this court. The Jansen versus Best and Flanagan, again, the finality of the decision isn't until this court actually rules. And probably more telling, again, the kind of a case of first impression here is the application of the amelioration doctrine to a civil matter, which was addressed by this court in the matter of McCullough back in 2022, which was involved a challenge, I believe, to COVID.
Kind of a technicality, but did you raise that in your principal brief? Did you argue the amelioration doctrine in as far as this being part of your appeal?
Well, I raised the law in effect at the time of service is that there was a change in law and that the law should, at the time of decision by the Court of Appeals, is what should apply in my principal brief. But very clearly, in this case, there was a change in the law. There's no longer a requirement for the Commissioner of Public Safety to impose a very specific penalty. The Commissioner of Public Safety actually has discretion to impose formal or informal discipline. There's no requirement that anything other than a stern talking to, according to the statute. Now, if you're found to have violated this statute, which is a complete 180 from what the statute was before. And the reason why this is unique is effectively, again, the facts at issue here are not disputed, but there's this weird window where relator ends up admittedly making a mistake and doing something very dumb. However, he takes responsibility for it by entering a guilty plea in criminal court. And the interesting part is how rarely these cases were charged criminally. You would probably be able to find the vast majority of these cases charged in one of two counties in the state of Minnesota. But in this case, because he took responsibility for his criminal action, he didn't apply for the exception in 171, where if you were permanently revoked, that you could apply by June 30th of 2024 for reinstatement because he had a criminal conviction related to it. There was a specific exception for those that were convicted of a crime related to their violation of the DVS rules, that they weren't allowed to even apply for reinstatement.
That was a short window that was permissible?
Yes, it was.
So even if you had an expungement as far as a criminal thing, you can't wind back that clock?
Well, therein lies the rub is the...
I'm sure you've explored all of this, but it's intriguing. It really is.
Yes, and it's unfortunate because it's effectively one individual who's effectively impacted by this, where it's an individual who wants to continue his career, is willing to do whatever it takes. Again, and I know it's not the legal standard, but it's unusual because he's effectively the only person or one of the only people in the state of Minnesota at a young age makes a mistake, takes full responsibility for it, and because of weird statutory language of short windows to reapply for application for access to DVS systems, effectively is unable to pursue a career in law enforcement for the rest of his life, even if he gets an expungement under, for instance, the new clean slate law that's coming into effect. And the DVS, if he gets a job offer from an employer in the future, they're going to attempt to give him to get access, and they're going to say, no, you're permanently revoked for the rest of your life.
So I have a question about the amendment that was made. The prior language required immediate and permanent revocation of the authorization. The amended language says that the commissioner must impose disciplinary action.
Correct.
Is there anything, is there any reason why disciplinary action couldn't include immediate and permanent revocation of the access to the system?
It absolutely could. But disciplinary action includes formal or informal discipline, which could include a written reprimand.
Sure, it could be something less than.
Yes.
Than what was required before, but it still could have been.
Absolutely.
That was what the commissioner would decide.
Yes, but on September 11th, 2023, the commissioner didn't have any discretion to take into account any actions that the individual has taken subsequent. Didn't get the opportunity under the new statute to receive notice of any decision or opportunity to respond to it within 5 days of a decision, and the requirement that there be an appeals process available for any individual who is subject to disciplinary action under 171.12, which now all exists. There's a creation of fairly extensive procedural rights for an individual who has these has their access revoked or suspended, revoked, or written reprimands even. And that's kind of what the difference here is that I don't believe that respondent argued, and I don't know that they can, that the commissioner was unable to exercise any discretion because the statute in September of 2023 didn't give the commissioner authority to exercise any level of discretion. And that's why what we're asking, based upon the timing of when the service of the decision of the commissioner of the commissioner of public safety being in March of 2024. That's why what we're saying is that the law at the time of service is what applies, not necessarily the law when the administrative body contemplated what they were going to do, because it's not effective. The decision isn't effective until it's served upon the party.
As I understand your argument, and I think you said this a little bit ago, you're challenging the interpretation of what it means for the audit to have been closed.
Yes.
So could you explain, you know, are you making the argument that the plain language is clear, that he had to have notice in order for the audit to be closed? Are you arguing, in fact, that the statutory language is now ambiguous? What is your interpretation argument here?
So the interpretation argument is that it's not closed until it's served upon the respondent, because that's the triggering event for when it's a final decision.
And how are we then to determine what the audit being closed means?
Right, exactly. So the problem is, under respondent's position, they could close their audit without actually doing any permanent immediate revocation and then wait 8 months and then say, actually, we closed it because we had all the facts that we needed to know back in September of 2023, so we're imposing the penalty that existed prior to. And that doesn't make any logical sense, that the effective date of the closing of the audit is no different than the effectiveness of a judgment, which is effective upon service upon the party that is impacted by the decision of the agency.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. You
thank
have,
you.
Relator will have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
It's on the front corner. To move it down.
That's what I'm looking for. Good morning. My name is Corey Marsalik. I represent Respondent Commissioner of Public Safety. We ask this court to sustain the commissioner's decision to permanently revoke the relator's access to the driver's license information system. I'd like to begin with relator's arguments about when the audit closes. It's our position that this distinction that, or this what relator is doing is trying to meld together the distinction between a final agency action and the time to review that action. Like, I think the plain language of the statute discusses an audit. The writ of certiorari statute 60601 discusses the review of the proceeding. And if you look at the new law, which tracks the old law, subdivision 1A talks about the audit and the audit trail and what is included in the audit, including the data that's collected in using the information system. So that is, if you look at the language of the statute, that is what the audit is. And then once the audit is closed, the agency makes a decision, and then they provide notice of that decision. And then once that notice of the decision is provided, at that point, time to review the agency action begins. So there's a difference between judicial review of the agency action, notice of the agency action, and the agency's action itself. So I think when relator is discussing that, well, the agency's decision wasn't final until I received notice in March of 2024, I don't think that is an accurate characterization of what the audit is. The audit closes once the agency makes its decision on September 11th, 2023.
Can we, just for our record purposes, is there an agreement that UMNPD was not employing him in September 2023?
That is my understanding from what relator has articulated.
Are you disputing that?
I'm not disputing it. I'm just saying that we don't have any information about that. The only information we have about his employment status at that time is from relator. So there's nothing in the record that I know that was communicated to DVS about that. So I'm not disputing it.
It didn't affect what you were doing anyway.
Correct. I think, It's outside the record, but I think that goes to the notice point that that might be, I'm speculating, but that might be why the U of M didn't provide him with notice once they received notice, but I don't know. I don't know what happened there. That's not in the record. That's nothing that DVS is aware of. So,
thank you.
And Judge Wirke, I agree that the amelioration doctrine was not raised until the reply brief, and as the case that Relator cites, it's at best an open question whether or not that doctrine would apply to civil proceedings, and whether it applies to civil proceedings, if that includes agency proceedings or just civil litigation. That's another reason why I think this court should adhere to...
Wouldn't that be an interesting concept? But I don't know if that's something this court can entertain.
I agree. Under Minnesota Rule of Appellate Procedure 12802 Subdivision 3, I think that's a new matter that's beyond the scope of what respondent raised and it's what respondent argued in its respondent's brief. And I think even, you know, to the extent that the new law would apply, as the session law says, it doesn't apply to audits that are closed before October 1st, 2023. So I think that gets, again, back to the heart of the matter that Judge Wheelock asked questions about on during Relator's argument about what does the audit mean, and I think that goes back, my response to that is the audit means, based on what Subdivision 1A articulates, it's the data that's collected by the agency and reviewed by the agency, and then once that data is, that audit is closed, once the agency makes its decision, and then the notice of the decision is something separate, and the review of the, and the, because the notice then triggers the time to, for judicial review of that decision. And then those are three distinct things. And Judge Wirke, I think you asked a question to Relator about why this took so long and what's in the record about that. I believe if you look at a Relator's addendum, and it's also in the record about the agency's decision, the record that we provided, the agency's decision, I believe it starts on page 3 of the addendum where the audit, the agency's decision articulates from the agency's perspective what happened, why they, that they didn't receive notice of this transgression until April of 2022. At that point, we have emails in the record, I believe on page 87, and it's articulated further in the agency's decision that once they received notice in April of 2022, DVS emailed the BCA asking what they knew about this. The BCA then emailed the police department, and then they started those communications. The audit occurred. The reason for the further delay, according to the agency's decision, is that the DVS did not have an auditor employed at that time, and then once an auditor was employed, then they started working through those cases, and they got it. They got the decision made as quickly as possible.
And am I correct, counsel, that there is nothing in the law that states that it shall apply retroactively?
That's correct. I think if you, as we articulated in our brief, the, you know, the case law, the doctrine requires it to be clear and manifest, and it, in this case, it's the exact opposite. The law specifically says it does not apply to audits that are closed. Well, it says that it only applies to audits that are open or open after October 1st, 2023, and this one was closed as of September 11th, 2023. If the court has no further questions, we would ask you to sustain the commissioner's decision to permanently revoke the... As I believe you mentioned, Amber Leader conceded that the disciplinary action is defined in the statute under subdivision C as a formal or informal disciplinary measure, including but not limited to requiring corrective action or suspending or revoking the individual's access to the driver and vehicle information system. So to your question, Judge Wheelock, the permanent revocation isn't still an option for the commissioner under the new statute.
Thank you.
Like I said, if... Unless, oh.
It looks as if there's no other questions. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Mr. Ryan, you have the last word. I'm sorry, Mr. Kelly.
No, sir.
Ryan Kelly, Donnelly, I don't.
St. Paul, Your Honor, so.
I know, very confusing.
Thank you, Judge. So I'll just be very brief. Again, going back to the Chapter 171 does not actually define what an audit is. It discusses in passing a biennial audit, which doesn't appear to be a directed at one specific individual's activities. There's implications that audits are also done in discussions about audit trails, but there's no definition of when an audit is considered closed. And the only logical sense that is made is under either the prior law or the laws that is in effect today is that the audit is officially closed upon service of the administrative agency's decision.
Why isn't it reasonable to interpret that as an audit is closed when the purpose of the audit is served, and which would be when they're done with the investigation and review of the materials and have made a decision?
Because it doesn't render any rights to the affected party. So it's reviewing it in no different than Minnesota Rule of General Practice 515 or chapter on the rules of appellate procedures. It's generally deemed effective upon service upon the impacted party. Otherwise, in theory, had relator never asked for it, the notice, there'd be nothing to appeal. He's applying for jobs and finding out you don't have access to DVS or it was revoked. You need to deal with them. In theory, this could go on in 10 years, and it just doesn't, it's illogical for a decision to be rendered without and being effective without actually serving it upon the party.
But isn't that just a notice and timeliness issue in terms of whether or not someone can challenge the decision that was made? It doesn't mean the decision hasn't been made.
No, I'm not disputing that there's that the agency has made its decision. However, it's not effective until it's served upon the parties. No different than a district court matter where judgment is entered but isn't effective until it's served upon the party plus 20 days. Again, decision is made, but not effective until service is completed. And in the interim, obviously here, there's been a change in law and a reference to open audits versus closed audits, which without defining what those are, we're asking the court to just interpret that the effective date of the closure of the audit is the day upon service of the impacted party. And that's consistent with the statute as it reads today, as it's been amended today, that if it's determined that there is inappropriate access to DVS data, that the commissioner, if the commissioner takes disciplinary action, the commissioner has to notify the individual and notify them of their appeal rights within 5 days of the decision being rendered. We're just asking this court to merely remand it back to the Commissioner of Public Safety. And I'm not disputing that there's a possibility that under the new...
But just a minute. So your thinking is if it got remanded, then potentially they can step up to the present penalties?
Yes. So the commissioner would actually have discretion if it gets remanded to make determinations about what is the appropriate disciplinary action, be it formal or informal, be it improvement, suspension, revocation. Although the statute doesn't say permanent revocation anymore, it does say revocation. It would depend on what the agency determines, whether they would be allowed to permanently revoke somebody based upon the statute, even though it doesn't explicitly state that anymore. It does.
So is your argument, I'm not saying that we do, but so as an appeals court, we don't have the decision to revoke the commissioner's decision, which kind of does away with it?
No, what I'm asking is that you reverse it and you don't say, I'm not asking the court to reinstate his access to DVS. I'm asking the court to reverse the decision and remand it to review it in accordance with the statute as it is, as it is today, and as it was at the date that he was served with the notice of discipline.
I'm asking you those questions because of the nature of the cert appeal versus if you're in district court. In district court, the determination is either to sustain or to revoke the commissioner's decision. So I wanted to be as powerful as the district court.
No, I appreciate that, Judge. Like I said, we're not saying that this court, we're not asking this court to dictate any type of disciplinary action. We're saying that absolutely the commissioner has authority to impose disciplinary action against Relator based upon the inappropriate use. We're just asking that it be reversed and remanded for the commissioner to consider all of the factors and then to provide those facts.
Understood.
All right.
It's a predicament that doesn't arise that often. Thank you both.
Correct. Thank you.
For your time here, and matter is submitted. A decision will be forthcoming.
Thank you.
Thank you.